We're talking about the workplace. We're talking about having fun and making fun in the workplace. Having fun in the workplace makes you more productive. I'm not sure. But the guy who is sure and the guy who does know about it is Ian Bess. He is the head of strategic projects at On the Edge Blocks for Business. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well, thanks. And you?
It's lovely to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be in the studio on this cold and rainy day, but it's good to see a vibrant and fun environment.
It really is. What do lawyers do?
I think lawyers are struggling still a bit, and I agree with you, Kathy. I don't think you would have been a great lawyer. I think you do much better on radio. No, that was not a plug. That was just an honest comment. I think the execution of fun in the workplace is difficult, and it's good to say, yeah, everybody must have fun, but there's definitely a change, and there's definitely a shift, and I think where it's coming from is it's coming from a change in what we call the psychological contract. Now, the psychological contract is effectively what the relationship the employee has with the employer. And the needs of employees these days is very different. So in the past, people wanted to work for a name brand. They wanted job security. They wanted all the perks that historically made sense. But now things have changed. And it goes more than just the paycheck at the end of the month. And I think for the first time, we now have a generation of workers who actually believe that they're going to be financially worse off than their parents. So they're looking for more than just financial reward.
That's interesting. Why do they believe that they're going to be worse off than their parents?
So I think if you look at it, we have what we call, I heard a fascinating, I'll give you a quick story. I was at a team building. I was running a team building event with a whole bunch of millennials. That includes you, Zanati.
Are you there, Zanati? Yeah.
and we were sitting around in the evening just chatting and somebody started talking about an Ubuntu tax, and I'd never heard of an
Black
Ubuntu
tax.
And when I delved into this and I got more information out of it, what it effectively means is looking after your parents and that responsibility of looking after family. Now, that's been a big cultural
It's not just your parents. It's your cousin who needs to go to school or university or whatever. Yeah.
And I think if we just look at the state of play, we look at individuals. Many of the generation that are retiring now, what we call the baby boomers, I think are not financially stable. They cannot afford to retire. You know, this pension funds haven't performed, so kids are looking.
People are outliving their pensions.
Absolutely, they're outliving their pensions. Correct. And what they're doing is kids are now having to support their parents and support their own kids. So this whole concept now about feeling as an individual that from a financial perspective you will not be able to finance your means or your standard of living is a challenge. So when it comes to fun, employees or workers feel that they're in a much stronger position to negotiate what they expect out of an environment. So it's not just about going to work every day and just looking through files, as you alluded to a bit earlier. It's about doing more than that. And we're seeing a lot of organizations acknowledging that in an effort to retain and develop talent by creating an environment that allows for fun.
So how do we inject fun into an environment that is a traditional office or work environment that you wouldn't normally associate with fun? It's not the marketing department, because we know that that's like party central, right? But it's all the other departments in a company.
Absolutely. And I think that's where we speak a lot about customer experience. And there's a phenomenal, there's a phenomenal study that's been done by an author called Jacob Morgan, and he talks about the employee experience advantage. And it's not just about the employee climate or doing like kind of a barometer test on how the employees are feeling. It's actually about how do employees feel when they walk into the environment? Are they experiencing what they would want to do every single day? So it's about purpose. It's about understanding exactly what a worker wants and needs, and for leadership, and this is the important thing, is for leadership to embrace that and to allow individuals to be individuals, to be unique. You know, you and I were just chatting off air about how children sometimes get neglected at the expense of the other kid, and that's sad because the consequences are dire. What you need to do is you need to look at individuals and embrace diversity and not only just talk about it. Like you spoke about marketing, you can't say, well, our employees are our most important asset. You've got to demonstrate it. So it's about the employee experience.
So where does the responsibility of the employer begin and where does it end? And the reason I'm asking is because there has to be, it has to be a two-way street. It has to be a between employees and employers.
So I think there's a fundamental word that embodies all of this, and it's about trust. It's about trust and it's about mutual trust and effectively respect between an employee and the employer. And a perfect example of this is about flexible working. I know it's such a controversial topic, and it's one that's got a lot of airtime, where I think Yahoo was one of the most recent ones a couple of years ago, where they turned their whole policy around and cut all flexible working. And basically employees got disgruntled because now...
Why did they do that?
Because they didn't trust the people that they were sitting at home actually doing work. They felt that their employees were disengaged. So because they didn't trust, they felt that they could control the staff better or control their people better by having them in an office. And it had unintended consequences because you spoke about it earlier about are people more productive when they're happy? They are more productive when they're happy and they feel more accountable when they're happy. If you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and that's your best time to work, but nobody else wants to meet you at High FM at 5 o'clock for a meeting. Well, maybe they are, but.
Well, Zanati does.
Yeah. Okay. Zanati, yeah. Present company. Dindy. Yeah. Present company excluded, but no one's going to come and have a 5 o'clock business meeting with you here. But that shouldn't stop you from doing your best work at 5 o'clock. And I think that's the problem. So to answer your question, how do you resolve this? You resolve it by ensuring that there's trust, and leadership needs to trust employees. And if you trust your employees, they will reciprocate by being accountable and responsible.
Very, very interesting, because what it looks like Yahoo did when they took away their flexi time was that they then started catering to the lowest common denominator. And one doesn't want to think of any staff member as the lowest common denominator, the untrustworthy person. Rather, let that person go. Replace them with somebody who is trustworthy and who you are going to be able to trust and get the most out of. Yeah.
I think that's one of the fundamental emotional challenges that many people who are frustrated, and I deal with a lot of people who literally can't get up on a Monday morning. They can't get up on a Monday morning because
it's Monday.
Look, Mondays are Mondays. I think any day can be a Friday. You know, you've just got to, it's about your attitude. But your attitude also needs to be in the right space. You know, we always talk about don't surround yourself by negative people. Don't try and think positive thoughts. You know, we can say all those things, but once again, don't go to a place where you're not enjoying what you're doing. If you can spend 8 to 12 hours a day, whatever people do, you're going to spend time in that place. You might as well be happy about it. And
not might as well. It's essential that you're happy about it.
It's essential.
Otherwise, you take that nonsense and everything that you're feeling back home with you.
Absolutely.
And it impregnates every aspect of your life.
Absolutely. And you know, technology, everybody talks about technology, and I have a lot of debates and discussions that people say technology is an inhibitor, technology is bad. It's how you approach technology, and it's how you enable it as part of a support system of yourself. And if you look at it, flexible working is now possible. You can be anywhere, Kathy, if you think about it, and do this radio show, and nobody would know.
Shh.
Exactly. We don't need to tell anyone who's sitting on the beach, you know. But that's the point. You know, you can. I know consultants who are awesome mothers. They're at every one of their kids' events, yet they still manage to successfully change organizations, be a part of meetings, not feel disengaged because they've been empowered with technology and they trust it. If they say, "I cannot talk to you now," the person on the other side says, "Okay, cool. Let me know when you can," because they trust that person will come back to them. Nobody has to justify and say, "I'm sorry, I'm at my daughter's ballet concert."
Oh, so it's reputation as well.
It's 100% about your reputation, yeah. But I think it's becoming more accepted. If you think about it, we live in a virtual world where we don't we know aspects of people's lives and that, but we don't really know what people are up to. I talk about the one dimension Facebook. You know what I mean? You don't know what's going on in people's lives. You don't know what's going on behind, as we say, closed doors. So it's, we don't have a right to judge. But as long as you have that mutual respect, you have that acknowledgement that if I ask you to do something, Kathy, you're going to do it because you feel purpose-based. You feel like you're enjoying what you're doing. You will do it, even if you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Ian Best, thank you so much. Do you help companies do this?
Yes, I do.
I mean, do you go and you say, well, this is what you can do, is you can bring in a ping pong table here.
So ping pong tables.
Bring in fun.
Yeah, I bring in fun, but I think it's got to be, ping pong tables are great, but it's got to be sustainable. It's got to be like, part of the culture. So I do a lot of culture workshops, amongst individuals and organizations.
Oh.
Because, leaderships need to, embrace it. And in order to embrace it, you've got to be vulnerable. You've got to allow these, you've got to be prepared to try things and fail and try again. If you don't fail, you'll never know if it works. And the only way we can do it is to have open conversations. So it starts with having a conversation, understanding what each party wants, putting the expectations on the table, and then you can move forward.
Fantastic. Ian Best, he is the head. The head.
The head.
The head of project. Just give me that full title again.
Okay, it's head of strategic projects at On the Edge. Blocks for Business.
On the Edge, Blocks for Business. How do people get in touch with you?
So the best way is I'm on Twitter at yeah. Ian Bess, or you can just go to On the Edge Blocks.
Okay.
.com.
All right.
Thank
Twitter's
you.
Probably a very good option.
Twitter's the best.
Thank you so much. That's Ian Bess, and fun in the workplace. Right now, let's see what's happening in the world of tech.